Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is 1 6-footer. I can't handle one-on-one. Ladies, let's have a party.
Choose from Mr. Submarine's great lineup of your favorite subs. Mr. Submarine's king-size sub, a regular sub piled high with your favorite meats and cheeses.
For the best-tasting meal around, Mr. Submarine is the real sub.
It's time for the real submarine, Mr. Submarine.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's the Wayback Machine. That's the Scottie Pippen, Mr. Sub commercial. If you haven't seen it, you must go on YouTube immediately and watch it. Kevin likes to play it occasionally, and we'd like to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And
most of all, thank you for listening.
That is most of all. And bless you, Dustin, for your hard work. I hope you enjoy the little treat you have. Cover yourself with it. And
I know no matter what we did, there's nothing you could have that's better than that.
And enjoy some fine Jordanaire. And Kevbo, bless you, sir. Thank you for all of your contribution. Tomorrow, I believe, is your big day. Screamers Hollish podcast.
It's a big day.
Yeah.
Big day.
Thanks to Ray. Ray does it all. He keeps the whole thing together. And he does it kind of MacGyver style with kind of just a little bit of chewing gum and a piece of wire.
It's amazing. All good stuff.
And now is the time in the program we welcome in Dan and Connor.
I forgot to give credit to Kevbo for a tweet yesterday that had me, you know, I flip on the computer, I'm still bleary as I'm waking up, and I just guffawed out loud. He, Kevin, juxtaposed a screenshot of the Score text screen. That had some texter, you know, calling out whatever was the opinion about Kareem Hunt or something at Addison Russell. And instead of saying hypocrites, he was calling you Hippocrates. And then immediately next to that is an image, a painting of Hippocrates. It was just hysterical.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt you to smash that retweet button every now and then there, Dan.
Just once or twice.
Where did you find the picture? You just did an image search for it?
No, that was from my personal stash.
He has it at the home.
He has one.
In the bathroom.
He has the photo in his wallet.
One of your old medical textbooks.
Yeah. Part of the oath.
Some have loved ones, Kevin has.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun today. It was good. That Scottie Pippen stuff is just magical. I don't know why. And again, I just resent myself for not thinking of it earlier, the idea that that Zion Williamson should stop right now because he has nothing to prove and he's going to not help himself.
He didn't have to play college ball in the first place.
Well, he had to do something for a year.
He's not the only one, though, is there? I mean, there are other players.
There's three of them, right?
Yeah,
all we need are just these
private.
Take some of this AAU structure and create a private showcase academy. We've always talked about it. You go around barnstorming. You play exhibitions. You play. You have a couple of teams that play against each other. You have a red team and a blue team, and these are your traveling future NBA all-stars, and you're not giving any money to Coach K.
How do you think Coach K would respond to Zion Williamson coming into his office and saying, Coach K, I'm done?
And can you
Who cares?
Can you do it in his voice?
I'm asking you, Coach K.
The same thing he said to William Avery's mother. Remember when Brand and Langdon and Avery and Corey McGetty.
Can you do it in his voice, please?
Well, I can't use the word. Oh. When he calls William Avery's mom on the phone, he goes, your son is going to I program. And was screaming at the mom because his program was going to be bleeped by these players daring to go look out for their own professional interests.
So he would say the same thing to Zion?
Yeah. Damn right he would.
Great guy.
Super.
Can you like not yell but whisper loudly as Coach K? I like when Coach K, like you take a seething aspect without really yelling.
Well, that shot of Boeheim and Krzyzewski, there was one low
angle shot. We mentioned it yesterday. It was a terrific game. Fascinating.
Yeah, it was
basketball
a great game.
You know, and all you saw the crowd and you saw the two coaches standing there. Boeheim in the foreground, red faced, screaming. Krzyzewski in the background, red faced, screaming. And it's just like, this is what college basketball is. These two septuagenarians, they're just yelling at children.
Celebrity coaches.
They're the program.
Get off my lawn.
They're the program. I got to be honest, it was kind of nice to hear Scottie Pippen kind of.
Yes.
Refreshing. Speaking about the new wave of player and what really matters in the NBA.
Especially in the same week that his son committed to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the system. Like, it's you can't circumvent it completely yet. But
there are two college basketballs. It's like there are two college footballs. I mean, there's one for those guys, and there's one for everybody else.
Yeah, there's the players who are going to play at the next level, and those who are already anointed, and those who will have to work.
The rule is still applicable to most student-athletes who are student-athletes. The exceptions are the guys going pro.
And the guys going pro, like, I mean, I would be very curious to know how many classes is Zion Williamson actually turning up
at? It's going to take one semester of school.
Well, I'm saying once you get beyond a certain point, he'll be playing in the tournament without
chemistry classes. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, and I think it's comical for anyone to think that the first part of his college career is about anything other than eligibility. And that's not
right.
That's not taking a shot at the kid. That's just what his position is. You have to wait a year before you can play in the NBA.
It's so going
you go
on forever.
To the top school.
You know,
we're
just becoming more adept at identifying it and you know, recognizing it and not being hypocritical about it.
You know, what would be a little bit more helpful though is if the NCAA, and they'll never do it, but if the NBA and the NCAA came to some agreement whereby, yeah, sure, Zion doesn't have to go to school or can drop out at any time, let him come back to school. I mean, you mentioned Scottie's kid that's going to go to Vanderbilt. Yeah. Like, what's to say if you're going to be a sophomore or a junior and you want to go into the NBA draft, but maybe you're wrong, or hell, if you're a freshman and you think you've got the game to go to the next level, what if you're wrong? Should you really bear the consequences of taking a guess at what NBA executives would think of your game as an 18-year-old and then not have a fallback plan, not have a place to go play? Like, why are we going to make this eligibility an irrevocable thing? Why is it that you forfeited it immediately as soon as you feel like maybe I want to try and play the NBA? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Especially because the number of exemptions that are already built in for guys playing minor league baseball. We've had basketball players retain their eligibility because it was actually Trajan Langdon, I think, who was in the Padres system.
The Heisman Trophy winner cashed a $4.6 million baseball check.
Hmm? That's right.
You know, so he's a professional baseball player, but an amateur football player. That seems a bit...
It's bizarre.
Yeah, very bizarre.
It's
one word for it.
Not quite bizarre. It's antiquated is what it is. It's a relic. And it has no place here. And all it is a professional league understanding that they get free development from the NCAA by maintaining this thing of amateurism.
And, I mean, a lot of people are saying that Zion Williamson has wasted a Duke career more than anyone since Bernstein. But I don't agree with that because there's something that he gets out of it. A trip to the NBA. For you, it was the CBA. It's the same
right,
thing.
Right. GBA first.
Was it the GBA
first? Yeah. I had to graduate to the Continental League after the Global League folded.
What global team were you with?
The Raleigh Bullfrogs.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was fighting.
Did you do that while you were in school?
First job out of college?
No. I was actually doing the Duke games when I was in school.
How much did they pay the mascot?
Actually, our mascot might have been one of the more successful graduates, more successful alums of the Raleigh Bullfrog one-year experience. He became the Mariner Moose.
Really?
And yeah.
Not the guy with the roller skates.
Yeah.
He's the guy on the roller skates that hurt himself.
Yeah.
That's
one of the more horrifying things.
Yeah,
I've
some
ever
of his dance.
Seen.
He was great. I mean, for a low level, and the costume was awesome. He was really good as the Bullfrog.
Oh.
Why do the 49ers want Staley, the mascot, out there? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's great that the guy's name is Brandon Staley, isn't it?
I mean, Denver, right? Yeah.
Oh, Denver. I'm sorry.
We went with Vic. We're talking about that a lot today about the staff.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
It's really interesting for a defense this good to have what looks like a complete overhaul.
Yeah, what's the number now? Five? We're at five?
Five people. Yeah, five members of the defensive coaching staff.
Maybe more?
Be coming back. If they lose Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, it would be more. But there's no indication that he's leaving.
Let's hope not.
The offensive line coach and the defensive line coach are the two guys you would like to retain, yes, if you want to retain them. The Colts got rid of theirs. They didn't want him because of his personality was too abrasive.
The Cowboys retained theirs. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Mark Colombo.
Look at the significance of offensive line play with these remaining teams. With everything else we want to talk about, look at what the what these teams have in common, especially in the interior, and how much I think Ryan Pace might have understood that in a way where, you know, we were always brought up that it was you built your offensive line from the outside in, and your tackles were your skill position players, your left tackle was the guy. And we learned that Pace, Mickey Loomis, and understanding what the Saints did, that they really valued that interior.
You think it was Pace and Mickey Loomis? You don't think Sean Payton had anything to do with
I think he probably had something to do with it.
Just curious.
And maybe,
the great football mind that is Mickey Loomis.
Maybe it was also understanding that you had an undersized quarterback that was there, that you were sort of customizing it for Drew Brees in a way that became de rigueur across the league.
And one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever. Yeah. I mean, get rid of the ball quickly, protect your offensive lineman. You know, that helps too. You know, when you have a guy like that.
And we were discussing this morning the quarterbacks and the coach, the combination of those guys left the final four. You know, you talk about offensive lines, look at the coaches and look at the quarterbacks. And, you know, you're hard pressed. There's probably three of the four are Hall of Fame coaches. Maybe the other guy is going to get there. There are probably three of the four that are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Maybe one of them could get there. But, I mean, I would say Mahomes, in terms of, you know, I mean, Brady's already in and Brees is already in. Mahomes, pretty good start to your career, your first year as a starter.
I'd say.
50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, an MVP. I don't know about Goff. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, that's the biggest job. You're talking about offensive line, coach, and quarterback. That's the biggest job left in the playoffs, isn't it? It's McVay's job with Goff, getting that offensive line to protect him. We saw for what, like three straight weeks? It was the Bears and then the Eagles, and I'm spacing on who the third opponent was, but Goff with pressure, you know, Goff facing that kind of stuff and unable, the Rams unable to get their play action game going, he wilted.
You know what they're doing is,
if they beat the Saints, it'll be because they run the ball down their throats.
But they're
like
doing
they
a lot of
the Cowboys.
They're doing a lot of muddle huddle stuff where the last, like, the, you know, like before they cut off the thing.
Yeah, at 15.
They want McVay to be able to look and make the call into the headset so the quarterback knows what he's looking at and what play he's going to run.
The guy who runs the headset actually got promoted and being pursued by every team in the league. He knows Sean McVay.
I didn't know if you were kidding or not.
No.
It's true.
I can see it. I was completely incredible to me. There's some market inequity and a guy who's good at running a headset.
Did you ever, you know, Paul Brown pretty much started every advancement in football at some point or another. And you know, what we see, the modern offense is all stuff that was stolen from him by the white-haired wizard who went to San Francisco with it and taught it to all these other guys. But Paul Brown, at one point, it was like right after World War II, he took some of that technology and experimented with like a helmet thing with having the headphones and all this stuff. But they kept
like the old-fashioned radio man with the backpack?
The old radio man with like calling in a bomb. But they kept picking up some like cab service where they were like ordering a cab. Like, so you'd be sitting there trying to call a play and someone would be calling for a cab. Like whatever, they were on the same, you know, so it didn't work. But he wanted to start that. I mean, that's pretty good. He started everything else.
Well, I told the story a couple of weeks ago that back to the Raleigh Bullfrogs when our coach got kicked out of a game and there was no assistant coach and the players are looking around and they're looking at the trainer and the next thing you know, there was a pile of towels at the end of the bench on the floor underneath that was a walkie-talkie. And our coach was outside, literally outside the arena on a scaffold, looking through the window, using an actual walkie-talkie to call the plays. And then our trainer was just standing up and be like, four high. And ended up losing, but it would have been a hell of a story had they won.
Do you remember when Kevin Lockery was the coach of the Bulls?
Sure.
They had a referee strike during the season. This is Jordan's rookie year, I think. and Kevin Lockery get thrown out of a game, but he like they wanted him to pay the fine. He had to put like a credit card down on the scores table.
What?
Because the referee didn't know how it worked. Like he was, he's literally
find him right there.
They
right
were finding him, and so he took out a credit card, slapped it on the table, and threw his hands up and walked off. Just classic. And that's like the real NBA. That's not. All right, what have you planned?
Many, many French fries.
Oh, so many French fries.
So many. Today, we're going to talk to the
Hamburgers.
Cubs. The Cubs' Ian Happ at 10:20. He's
happy.
He's got a little project going on in Cubs
convention
Rizzo coming up.
Called him happy too on Twitter yesterday. He is happy.
The Midday Midway is going to be on you at 11. Mark Schanowski on. We got to talk about the Bulls, man. I don't know what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. I keep saying that, but this is just, they are so, so poorly coached. It's criminal.
Well, they have internal exiles. That's the problem.
So Schanowski will talk Bulls 1140. Hub is going to join us at noon. Three more chances to win $1,000 in cash with a lucky text.
All right,
good
guys.
Show.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.